Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, November 2nd, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
I'm just going to remind the listeners, we had a Wendy Wilson usually joins us on a Wednesday. She doesn't seem to be available at this point in time. We'll try to connect with her in a little bit, but you might just be stuck with us for the first segment of the program, in addition to the second and third. But it was a good day today in gold, although it did fall back from its highs today. Right now we're looking at gold is up $860 for gold at $1,297.40. We did have a high of $1,308. Silver, $18.58, up 14 cents today. Had a high of $18.82. Platinum was down a dollar at $994. Palladium was down six at $631. USDX today, down 0.31. at $97.45. Crude oil took another hit today, down 1.14 at $45.53. We'll touch on that after the paper market numbers are given today. And we have the Dow. Oh, I didn't have my Dow numbers here. I was reading about Venezuela here. The Dow was down. It came back also to some degree. It was still down 77 points, though, at 17,959, breaking through that 18,000 level. The NASDAQ was down 48 points at 5,105. The S&P was down 13 points, 2,097. And what's interesting on the S&P is over the last 20 years, the S&P index has only recorded a seven-day losing streak on three separate occasions. I'll let you guess one. The first was in 2008 after Lehman Brothers collapse, while the other two were during Europe's 2011 debt crisis. So if the index ended lower today, which it did, it'll chalk up a fourth time. Now, it doesn't seem to be as deep since the last day of gains. The losses are only 2.2%. The index's longest ever run of losses was 8 days, matched at the height of the financial crisis in October 2008, where the S&P started falling on the September 29th, and it lowered until October 10th. And, of course, it was the worst week in history. And I suspect we will probably, or the S&P, will beat that timeline also. You have the 10-year yield, 1.80%, down 0.02%. And you have all the Asian markets and European markets were all down over 1%. Germany was down 1.5%. Hong Kong was down 1.5%. Japan was down almost 2%. And I often talk about the fear and greed index, and it determines what emotion is driving the markets. They take several, I think it's 7 or 8 different segments, put them together, and it actually shows an extreme fear of 18. I think that's one of the lowest that I've seen in a very long time. So it surprised me that we hadn't had a bigger drop in the markets. And of course, is this just all leading up to the election? So we will talk about that here in just a little bit. I'm going to try to connect once again to Wendy Wilson. If we can't get her, we'll continue on about oil and why oil has dropped so significantly here in the last, 2 weeks. But I do believe we have Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs connected to us right now. Are you there, Wendy?
I'm here, Melody. So sorry I got held up in traffic today.
All right.
We're going to talk about testosterone turmoil.
Okay.
Well, I mean, people hear a lot about this. Last 100 years, medical science seems to be obsessed with male testosterone. So, how did that topic even get discovered? You know, who discovered testosterone? How did that emerge? And according to urologists, men's levels of testosterone tend to diminish as they get older, and that kind of sounds right because women go through the same thing with menopause when estrogen diminishes. So it seems like it's a natural transition. So why do we hear all this hype that 1 in 4 men have low T and some sort of epidemic? And is it artificial testosterone, you know, medication, is it safe, or is there some sort of natural alternative to this mess? So I delved into how they discovered testosterone. It seems to have started with a physician in the late 1800s. So in 1889, this Harvard professor by the name of Dr. Brown Sequard, he injected himself what he described as a rejuvenating elixir. So what he did is he combined the components from male guinea pigs and dog testes, put that stuff in a syringe, and then injected it into his arm. He said that his experience was he had a brief increase in energy and vigor. However, his peers didn't approve, and they discouraged him from continuing with his research, so he abandoned it. And then 40 years later, at the University of Chicago, a professor of chemistry, Dr. Fred Koch, he picked up where Professor Sequard left off, but instead he took the components from bull testicles. So he got the help of some army volunteers to assist him in harvesting some materials.
You go catch that bull and hold him down.
Yeah. And so they isolated the components. So out of 40 bull testicles, they harvested 20 milligrams of hormone extract. And then they began to test this serum on capon roosters, and if you know what a capon rooster is, it's a rooster that has his testicles removed. So if they don't have their testicles, usually it's like a neutered dog. There's no really interest in any sexual behavior. So according to Dr. Kosh's research, the bull hormone serum reactivated the rooster's desire to mate. So after that, European scientists began real serious steroid research, and by the 1930s, human research on hormones was in full swing, and by 1935, they announced they had discovered the extracted hormone known as testosterone. And then by 1939, they were able to create a synthetic copy of testosterone. They made it from cholesterol. So this all began the era of steroid chemistry up through the 50s, and then by the 60s, science learned that testosterone, very potent exaggerator for the men, for their muscle mass, libido, energy level, and so forth. So this is how it all got started. But recently, October 25th, 2016, the FDA issued some new warnings about the use of testosterone medications. So the warnings state that there are serious health risks when you use prescription testosterone. So medical science, the athletic industries, they have been known to use testosterone, often abuse it, you know, bodybuilders, professional athletes, and sometimes they'll even use artificial testosterone with other steroids and get into a lot of trouble. So when you use these products, you have the health risks of heart attack, stroke, liver toxicity, male infertility, behavioral changes, which can include hostility, aggression, and depression, sleep apnea, and then when you come off the drug, the withdrawal symptoms are fatigue, loss of appetite, insomnia, decreased libido, and irritability. So the FDA recommends physicians, if they're going to prescribe the drug, they should do a blood test first to test for the testosterone level. And this synthetic testosterone is only for patients with low testosterone levels, so it's illegal to prescribe it to patients for anything other than that. And patients can have low testosterone due to hereditary issues, damage or malfunctioning testes, chemotherapy effects, infection, and other causes that can interact or infect hormone production. So since, you know, it is normal testosterone levels to decline as men get older, it's kind of controversial for physicians to actually prescribe these type of drugs for older patients. So you're probably wondering, why do they prescribe the drug and why do patients risk taking it? Well, they're told low testosterone reduces muscle mass loss, it increases body fat, it decreases body fat, it increases energy and libido. It removes the risk of weak bones and osteoporosis, and it helps your heart and blood sugar and lifespan. So this is what they're told in order to take the risk. Any questions?
Does it have anything to do with selling things?
Yeah, yes, it does.
Why are they prescribing this? Well, it's one way they make money.
Yeah.
And it's certainly, you know, a lot of men are concerned about these kinds of problems, and nobody wants to admit they're getting old, and so
yeah.
this is a product that you can probably make quite a bit of money off.
Right, and they do. And so when they take and prescribe these hormone drugs, you got to be real careful. Do your homework first. In other words, if you suspect you have cancer, you definitely don't want to take something like this. If your cancer is a type that is hormone dependent, it will exacerbate your cancer. There's also a fine line that physicians have to walk because they can't mess up the testosterone dose. And when they do, if the dose is too high, it throws off hormone balance and creates too much estrogen. And when males get too much testosterone, it converts to estrogen. And when that happens, they have mood swings. They're over-emotional. They have fluid retention. Their blood pressure goes up. They have breast sensitivity and even enlarged breasts. They have oily skin and acne, male pattern hair loss, increased risk of prostate cancer, testicular shrinkage, and increased red blood cell production that can increase the risk of heart attack, clots, and stroke. And there was even this one case I read about where patients got their hormone levels off so much that it caused blood irregularities, and it put them at such a risk of cardiovascular events, they had to undergo blood transfusions to reduce that risk. So there's no long-term studies. Everybody that takes these drugs is the test group, okay? So people are the guinea pigs with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
and it's cheaper that way than actually hiring test subjects. You just sell it. Instead
yes.
of hiring people and paying them, you yes. sell it to them.
You just sell
and they
it.
Pay you.
Right.
And then we'll see what happens.
Well, now, medical doctors will tell patients normal testosterone levels are between 300 and 900 nanograms per deciliter, but according to Dr. Michael Eisenberg, he's the director of male reproductive medicine and surgery at Stanford Hospital in Palo Alto, California. He says men can still experience symptoms of low testosterone when their levels appear normal. And for this reason, he says doctors need to measure what is called the free testosterone level, which is the real amount of hormone that's active, and it's a better indicator of the testosterone status. So if doctors are not measuring the free testosterone level, he says they will have difficulty prescribing the correct dose. And there is also a risk when you use, they have the topical hormone gel. You've probably seen the ads for this for men to put under their arm. So if patients are using testosterone gel, they have to wash their hands really carefully after they use it, because if there's any transfer of the drug to women or children, it can cause unwanted hair growth and premature puberty. So therefore, they came out with this alternative new version. It's a nasal spray, and it limits the unwanted transfer, but just don't sneeze on anybody, I guess. Here's a quote from Eisenberg. He says, there is a question about prostate cancer risk, so research really hasn't laid this question to rest yet. I would have a PSA test done twice a year to check for signs of prostate cancer if using synthetic hormone replacement therapy, end of quote. So Dr. Eisenberg thinks that you're going to put yourself at risk of developing cancer if you use artificial testosterone. I tend to agree, because women who have been taking the artificial estrogen usually come down with cervical or breast cancer. Right? You've heard about that?
It's not on the top of my reading list, but...
You've heard about it. It's been in the news. But, you know, I have found that, you know, the human body tends to respond to natural resources a lot better than prescription counterparts. So if women can balance their endocrine system to make the right amount of hormones for either menstruational cycles, a smooth transition through menopause, or increase their fertility using herbs, so can men when they use the male herbs. So the male herbs I would use are American and Siberian ginseng, sarsaparilla, saw palmetto, and cardamom. And what this does is it provides some super nutrition to the endocrine system, and that's the area that manufactures the hormones that are right for your particular time of life. So you're not getting too much testosterone, which would create too much estrogen and so forth and so on. So if anybody's looking for those herbs, we do have them. It's in a product called Male Hormone Formula. And if you've used one or two of these herbs, the secret is using them all. And all in the right amount. So women find the same thing. Oh, they use wild yam or a Mexican wild yam and hops, and they didn't get what they wanted, and it's because there's six female herbs that they need to use. So it's kind of a little trick to use them all. And if you need help figuring that out, the folks at Apothecary Herbs can answer your questions. New product catalogs coming this month. We're real excited. The new website is up, so let us know what you think. They can visit there at thepowerherbs.com or give us a call at 866-229-3663. So I guess you've never delved into the testosterone area, huh?
Oh, no, I have no problem with that.
Okay.
No, the truth of the matter is, you mentioned that longer, you said 1 in 4 has a problem with. How much of that is simply due to living longer?
Yeah, well,
I mean, it may be that your testosterone normally kicks out when you're 55 or 60, and if you live to be 70 or 80, or as we have longer lifespans, people are going to exceed what might be a natural limit on the supply of testosterone. Longer lifespans, you know, more people are...
Makes you wonder about Bill Clinton, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's consuming most of the production for Big Pharma. However much they make, Bill Clinton's getting busted a lot of it.
Right.
We got 1 minute left. Maybe I can get this out in a hurry. I can remember when I was a kid in high school, there were probably only one or two girls in our high school class, senior class, who really needed to wear a brassiere.
Mm-hmm.
I came back and I worked at the high school, did some excavation around the high school back 5 years later. And they had girls in high school that looked like they were college girls. Something had happened to change them, and they matured far more earlier than they did when I was there. Some people think it's because of a chemical leaking out of plastic containers.
Yeah.
You know about that? And do you know if it's still happening or not? It was apparently an estrogen-like compound, and girls were going into puberty much earlier.
Well, actually, yes. The plastic market just exploded in the 70s and 80s, and you did see a lot of reproductive hormones that were disrupted. So we do have toxins and things in the environment that can be contributing to our hormone disruption or imbalance, but I don't think synthetic hormones is the answer to correct that. I think we can do much better with natural stuff.
All right, that's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. Thank you, Wendy. Look forward to hearing from you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll be at Melody, and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on shortwave radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Many, many people have experienced the benefits of drinking all-natural Life Change tea. The unique blend of 8 herbs helps detoxify your body so you can live a healthier life. Numerous testimonies have been given about the benefits of drinking Life Change tea. So, are you drinking Life Change tea? Interested? Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Many are so impressed with our product, they order a year's supply. And why not? When they do, they receive 2 months free. That's a $70 savings. The body is meant to heal itself. Sometimes a body just needs a little help. Get the tea at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. This is not an ordinary green tea, and it's not available in stores. This tea helps with digestive problems, acid reflux, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and as talk show host Jerry Doyle says, it'll make you as regular as a baby bird. Enjoy your life. Get Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
I just want to thank the listeners for purchasing those 1 ounce American Gold Eagles at a very good price yesterday. They went like hotcakes. I had a few of them left this morning. They went this morning. So again, thank you for that. I always appreciate purchases from the listeners because it helps supports this program, supports other programs, and just to help to educate and to get the word out for why you need gold and silver, and of course why we need to do other things to prepare, not just financially, but the food, the water, and so forth. Excuse me. We still have some Mint State 64 $20 gold pieces. The price, they did rise. They had to be adjusted. The price today is $1,485, which is still a steal for the Mint State 64 $20 gold piece, and you're also getting a free 1 ounce American Silver Eagle. It's a 2016, and it also is included in a packaging that says Merry Christmas. It's a great little stocking stuffer if you would like to give your Silver Eagle away at Christmas time. It includes your shipping cost, all for the low price of $1,485. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. There was an article today, it's about the TPP. We don't know. They have to bring it up. The House and the Senate has to bring it up for a vote. I don't know if they will prior to the election. Who knows what will happen after the election, but supposedly Congress has the votes to pass the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. If it is brought up for a vote, I guess the big word there is if. We'll have to see how that goes. But a report from the Economic Policy Institute documented the impact of the U.S. trade deficit with the nations of the TPP that has had an effect on American jobs. In 2015, Michigan suffered a net loss of nearly 214,000 jobs due to the trade deficit with the TPP. So if you think it's going to get better, it won't. Ohio suffered a net loss of 112,000 jobs. Pennsylvania, 70,000. North Carolina, 60,000. Wisconsin, 40,000. Arizona, 21,000. New Mexico, 11,000. And New Hampshire, 7,000. So all of that was in 2014. And again, you know, it's a bad deal. As Mr. Trump says, it's a bad deal. And of course it is. And it will not help to bring jobs back into this country. So you know what to do next week. Come Tuesday, you know which way you need to vote. I had mentioned we were going to talk a little bit about oil, how the oil prices have tumbled. It's a and today released a record increase in U.S. crude stockpiles. Crude stockpiles rose 14 million barrels, or 3.1%. This is according to the Energy Information Administration. It's the biggest gain in agency data going back to 1982. Imports surged 28%, the highest in 4 years. We saw prices were down before the report's release on the record OPEC output last month. This continues to put a little more pressure on oil. We'll have to see where, you know, how much pressure oil can take. There's reports out there that it won't break below 40, but we'll just have to wait and see. I would think with a little bit of inflation creeping into the system, not only here but around the world, you might see a base at 40. And I always thought that you would see oil trade between $40 and $50. Sure, you're going to go above, you might go below, but the average I think we're going to see is between $40 and $50. And that's based on no World War III or anything like that, or, you know, any problems with Iran or any problems, which is a possibility that could be shortly around the corner. But so that's why we've seen such a big drop in oil, and a big drop it has been.
Well, there's another point to this also. The United States is certainly manufacturing, or capable of manufacturing, all the oil it needs. Mm-hmm. If the imports are up by 18%, if
that's
I heard you correctly.
No, imports surged 28%.
28%. All right, 28%. I have to assume the reason for that is because countries like Saudi Arabia that can produce crude oil very inexpensively, they have a financial advantage over the oil that's being produced in this country by fracking. Fracking is much more expensive to extract the oil from shale or wherever it happens to be sequestered underground. But our fracking, I suspect that what's happening is foreign oil producers are selling into this country, and we have people buying it because they can get it for less than they can get from American producers who rely on fracking and have higher costs.
And plus, we saw a lot of our production decrease due to the lower prices. I mean, that was, you know, a lot of those oil.
Can't make money at these prices.
Have
There's
closed
no point
down.
Producing at these prices.
You know, they've actually, you know, they've closed down, you know, in various parts of the country. So, absolutely. So,
got an article here from Casey Research. The headline is, "We're on the cusp of a powerful bull market in gold, could be the biggest in a century." They have three major catalysts that they claim could send gold to the moon, meaning the price of gold, of course. One, a new gold law. On December 31st, floodgates could open for 1.6 billion gold bugs, and they're talking about Muslims. For the moment, trading in gold is forbidden for Muslims. There is a new law coming out on December 31st that is going to open gold to Muslims for the first time in 42 years.
I don't think that's actually approved yet.
No, it's, well, you're just saying they're sitting on it.
They're sitting on it. And Muslims can own gold. They can own it. So,
well, they can't trade in it, apparently. But there's some sort of a restriction, and in any case, they are anticipating that if and when this new law is enacted for Muslims, and they're pointing to December 31st, after that, an extra 1.6 billion people can buy gold if they care to do so, and it's almost certain that the pent-up demand is going to be unleashed and the price of gold should go up. Their second point is that China has taken control of pricing gold. Now, I don't agree that China has taken control, but they are taking more control. China is the world's top importer, producer, and consumer of gold. Earlier this year, China opened the Shanghai Gold Exchange. If estimates are right, China's gold reserves are almost double that of every other major country combined. Right? Not double what the United States has, double of what everybody else has. Now, that's an estimate. This is coming out of Casey Research. Maybe true, maybe false, but this is their contention. And obviously, China thinks they should set the price because they are the biggest importer, producer, and consumer of gold. They don't think the price should be set by Wall Street, COMEX, banks in the West, LIBOR. China wants to set an actual price for physical gold, not on paper contracts like futures. Right now, there are 252 ounces of gold claims per ounce of deliverable gold at COMEX and presumably at LIBOR. All right? In other words, for everybody's investing in paper gold, there's only 1 ounce of gold for every 250 paper ounces that people are investing in. And this is a bizarre situation. You have 252 people who think they own an ounce of gold, and they could have it if they wanted it. And in fact, only one out of 252 could get the ounce of gold. Now, at today's price of roughly $1,300 an ounce, if there's 252 paper ounces for each deliverable ounce, it suggests the impossible conclusion that the price of gold would have to rise by 252 times to over $300,000 an ounce for COMEX and LIBOR to make good on their paper gold sales. Now, it's not going to happen. All right, we're not going to see anything like that. Or certainly, there's no way that just that's irrational, impossible to believe. But it tells us that COMEX's days are numbered, and LIBOR's days are numbered. They have too much exposure, and they can't possibly make good on it. I'm not predicting that the price of gold will increase in China by 25,000%, and that's what I think this works out to if it goes up 252 times. But China is still likely to change the price of gold significantly if it becomes the center of gold trading. I'm considering the likelihood that China will set a gold price at several times, three, five, the current cost of paper gold. If China does that, the paper gold market will be collapsed and destroyed, and all that may remain is physical gold. Under such circumstances, the demand for gold and the price of physical gold could be expected to be increased by several hundred percent. It's $1,300 an ounce right now or thereabouts. We could expect it to go to $4,000. That wouldn't be a surprise. And it could go higher than that based on China alone. Now, no one's saying this is happening, but Casey Research is offering three fundamental forces that should push the price of gold up. And one is the Muslims will be buying gold after the first of the year, or they may be. And two is China is going to take control of setting the price for physical gold. And the third factor is peak gold. Peak gold is similar to the concept of peak oil, and what it means is we've recovered all the easy oil that you can get out of the earth, and it is a belief that there is a limited supply of oil, and therefore from here on out there's going to be less and less oil. And in theory, that points to a higher price for oil. They're arguing the same thing is true for gold. We've reached a point where gold production is falling, and it's falling because it's happening at the same time demand is increasing. Now, you wouldn't think that's true. You wouldn't think that's likely, except that the cost of mining exploration has surged by tenfold over the last decade or so, even as new discoveries become few and far between. This has caused exploration to plummet in recent years, simply because the cost isn't worth it, at least the cost of fine gold. It still costs so much to haul it out of the ground that it's not worth mining it at today's present price. Right? On the other hand, if the price of gold were to increase dramatically, then it would become profitable once again to be pulling gold out of the ground and exploring and looking for mines and so on. This implies that the price of gold could rise by 10 times. If the cost of mining gold is up by tenfold and it's no longer cost effective to mine gold, there's a suggestion here that the price of gold could rise by 10 times and the cost of exploration and mining would therefore at that point become cost effective. Again, that notice, that notion depends on the price of gold rising by 10 from, say, 1,300 an ounce to 13,000 an ounce, and that's fantastic, and it's hard to believe, and it's an interesting fantasy if you own gold and the rest of that, but it's not completely impossible. Altogether, we have a shrinking supply of gold, an unprecedented and instant surge in demand for gold from 1.6 billion Muslims, possibly starting after January 1st, and the new Shanghai Gold Exchange that could return physical gold back to the gold markets. According to Casey, these gold events are creating a once-in-a-lifetime setup for gold investors that will see the price of gold explode higher. We just talked to Rob, what, West? Melody, you talked to Rob yesterday?
We were exchanging emails.
Okay. And what was his comment? He thought that the derivative situation was going to break loose, if I understood correctly. And he was among a group of people who think that the price of gold could go to $6,000 to $10,000 an ounce as early as the first quarter of next year. Now, I find that improbable, and I'm not going to say that's going to happen. I'm not going to predict that's happening. In fact, I'd predict it wouldn't happen. Just the same,
possible,
some
not probable.
Some people are making some people who actually have reason to know what they're talking about are making what may be an outrageous prediction, but nevertheless not impossible. And you know, this article we just had from Casey Research, they listed three items. New gold law for the Muslims, China's taking control of the pricing of the gold, and there's peak gold where the supply is going to be diminished and the price should go up. They point to three problems, but that's not all. What happens when Janet Yellen raises the interest rate next month? I'm going to presume that she does that after the election. And last year when she raised it in December, it caused a stock market crash in January. And it also caused the price of gold to go up by 20-21%. Is she going to do another 0.25% increase in the interest rate this December? And if she does, can we expect a similar response in the stock markets and in the price of gold in January of next year? We'll have to watch and see, but the point behind this is there are more reasons than just three. There are three reasons from Casey Research. Say, yeah, these are, you know, there's a 60% chance of this and 70% chance of that and 30% chance of that, and you put all the numbers together and I don't know. You know, the odds are prices going up, and not for just three reasons, but four or five or a number of reasons. Again, it's evidence that maybe now is the time to get yourself some gold. Just because if two or three of these things take place in the near future, the price is almost certainly going to go up dramatically, and the day is fast approaching where people will sit back and say, holy cow, you know, I could have bought gold at $1,300 an ounce. But I didn't. And good chance that a lot of people who don't buy it when they have the opportunity are going to be kicking themselves in the butt at some point in the foreseeable, in the near future. We'll watch and see, but so the implication is now's not a bad time to give Melody a call. 1-800-37. What is the phone number, Melody?
I'm so surprised.
I've said it so. I've said it 375-4188. I've said it probably 10,000 times over the course of the last several years, but it's like.
Just one of those moments.
One of those moments.
800.
Maybe my testosterone level is taking my mind away. We'll be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisker with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Shall I try the phone number again? Let's do it, Melody. Let's take a chance. 1-800-375-4188. For what it's worth, you know, I have a password on my computer to get in and out of the computer. And I cannot... If you offered me $5,000 right now to reveal the password over the radio, I could change it. I mean, it's not a dangerous thing to do. But I couldn't necessarily do it unless my fingers were on the keyboard.
I can't remember it.
If I'm not telling you, what's it?
With phone numbers.
I can't remember what the password is. As soon as I start typing it, it's like the memory is there in my fingers, but it's not necessarily there in my mind, you know?
I do that with one of my buyers. I've dialed his phone number for over 22 years. It's like I could recite it in my sleep. But sometimes I go to dial it, and I'm thinking, but let my finger do it. My finger will just do it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah,
memory is interesting stuff.
But as long as we can continue to remember, it doesn't matter how we end up doing it, as long as it's there.
Yeah.
But speaking of memory, this doesn't really have anything to do with memory, but I wanted to talk about, before we go into Venezuela, I just want to make a comment on those Muslims. Folks, I am the biggest supporter of gold and silver. I believe the prices are going to skyrocket. I believe that if you don't have gold and silver and you haven't protected your purchasing power, you're going to lose a big amount of your assets. Anywhere from 50, 70, 80%. And I do believe that. And I couldn't do my job if I didn't believe that. I couldn't do my job if I didn't believe and know what a fiat currency was. I couldn't do my job if I didn't know how and what happens when we're on a fiat currency and where this is all going to end. So with that said, I'm a big believer, and anything that open someone's eyes to purchase it, I'm all for it. But there are times when I have my opinions, and I think with this 1.6 billion Muslims, you know, they already can own gold. They can't trade it. This is all part of the Sharia law. I did a little research on it, and I wanted to comment it on about a month ago. Someone gave me the information, and I started doing some research, and I just kept it, you know, it was just got buried in the amount of paper that I have. And it still remains to be seen if you have 1.6 billion Muslims worldwide getting into the market. I guess even 1%, if you look at numbers, you know, 1% is still a lot of people. And could it move the price of gold? I don't know. When you think of the Muslims, they're not really, they don't want to be westernized. And, but yet they understand what a good currency is. And even the Sharia or their Sharia law or whatever teaches and practices a real monetary
meaning a system, monetary system based on gold.
Yes, yes.
No, no, they're an Old Testament. So, they have an Old Testament notion about money, and I'm sure they would feel more comfortable
is we
dealing
don't know
with
how
gold
much,
than
the problem is we don't know how many, how much money the 1.6 billion Muslims have. I mean, you could say the same thing in Africa. You could say, you know, you got 1.6 billion, you know, Africans that are going to get into the gold market, but how much money do they really have? You know, it's not the number of people, it's the amount of money they have. And
even so,
there's,
if they only have a
wealthy,
penny apiece to spend on gold.
I mean, if you are, and we have visions of the Saudis, Saudi Arabia, the wealth that they have, well, they have no problem already owning gold. So, you know, gold and silver. So I'm not so sure what, and plus this hasn't even been passed yet, and it's supposed to be in discussion, or the World Gold Council is supposed to be, you know, marketing with the Muslims and so forth. Number one, like, why would the Muslims change? And number two, and I mean, I'm not even quite sure who and what the World Gold Council is. I mean, they've been around. They've done a great job in promoting gold over the years. And sometimes I quote them. I know we once in a while will have things about the World Gold Council and so forth, you know, if they come out with some interesting stats and so forth. On the other hand, I'm not so sure who they are and what they are.
Well, here's another question for you.
Uh-oh.
If the Muslims have been restricted from trading in gold for the past 42 years, what do you suppose is the reason for changing that restriction at this time? Is this just interesting and somebody says, oh, what the heck, why don't we change the rules on gold? Is that what's going on? Or are they looking at this and they're saying, you know, this whole dollar thing's going down the tubes? And if you have your wealth stored in paper currency, dollar in particular, but any of the fiat currencies, you're going to lose your assets. Then maybe if they were pro-Muslim, they would sit back and say, you know, we've got to do something for the Muslim people to allow them to have more of their assets stored in a meaningful form like gold rather than in fiat dollars, paper dollars, digital euros, digital whatever. But maybe it's just a recognition that the end is near for fiat currency, and they're just saying, look, you Muslims got to get yourself some gold or you're going to be hurt bad.
I don't think they really care about, I don't know. I mean, I can't say, I don't know if they really care or not. But when you think of the Saudis and you look at the way their system is set up, I don't think they'd want to give the power to the people to own gold to protect their purchasing power and so forth. I mean, this is also tribal and everything. And again, I'm certainly not an expert on it. You know, I've done some reading and so forth that, you know, sort of, you know, molded my opinion and so forth, and not everything you hear and see on the internet is true. And
no.
So I don't know. Let's just wait until December. And hey, I would love it. Hey, I'd love it if forget 1.6 billion. I'd be happy with you know, 500 million.
Well, you know, this gives you 200. This gives you 2 months to learn Farsi. You understand? You get the book, start studying Farsi, and you'll be able to take some of these orders, Melody.
I mean, it's just not in their culture like it is in China and India. And we, of course, we're heading into the Indian season or the wedding season in India. So we might have a little impact on gold. Even though I know that happens every year, I don't base my fundamental views of purchasing gold on it's a good time to buy because the Indian wedding season is upon us. It's just a little. It's just a little bonus, and that's
when
how
you
I
start
see
seeing
needs,
three or four too. Different things that are perhaps piling up at the same time. Even
the
if two out of the
here.
Four don't take place,
the season is here for gold and silver, and I do believe we're easily going to see 3,000 gold, 4,000 gold, 5,000 gold. I think we'll easily see 50, 75, and 100 silver. Are we going to see that by the first quarter of next year? Possible, but not probable. But just remember this, folks, when gold and silver get to those levels, you ought to be careful what you wish for, because things will be very nasty. Don't think it's going to go to 5,000 gold and silver 100 and, you know, we're going to be out there, you know, buying yachts and everything. Just think of this condition of this country when gold and silver gets to those levels. It's just not going to be paper trading that pushes it up to those levels. You're going to have severe social problems, social unrest. You're going to have all kinds of things, market crashes, banks closing, nasty things will be happening.
You're going to have people that are depending on government subsidies and welfare, for example. And they will perhaps still get their welfare. Let's suppose their welfare was supposed to provide them with $1,500 a month. Right? If the gold goes to, say, $5,000 an ounce, people on welfare may still get $1,500 a month, but it may only have $500 in purchasing power as compared to what it has right now. They're going to be in a lot of stress. And it's anyone, standard savings, government pensions, welfare, subsidies, all of this is going to be
gone.
It's going to be, it might not be completely gone, but it will be badly, badly diminished. And God knows what's going to happen. I mean, it's the sort of thing, and that's one of the things about this. You know, you can push the idea that, oh my gosh, the sky is falling and the rest of that sort of thing, and doom and gloom and the rest of that sort of thing, but really, when you do look at this and you stop to think about it, we've told you a bunch of times on this program that the reason you buy gold is as a hedge against a monetary collapse of the fiat dollar. Now, that's not just crazy talk. That's not just fantastic, oh, the dollar is never going to crash. Well, it is going to crash. Every fiat currency we've ever had out of 275, there are something like five of them that are still functioning, and that's only because they're very basically recent, including the fiat dollar and the euro and I don't know what other ones. They all go down. And what do you suppose is going to happen when the dollar suddenly crashes? It's already lost, we tell you this on a regular basis, it's already lost 95% of its purchasing power in my lifetime, since 1971. They've lost 95% or more. You can bet it's going to lose the last 5% in the near future. Right? What's going to happen then? What is going to happen? And the answer is there's going to be something like chaos.
Well, that's why I wanted to talk about Venezuela today, because they had a big bond payment that's due today. And they are expected to avoid a default today. What was due was $1.2 billion to bondholders. And they did get a little bit of a break when some of its bondholders accepted a swap and agreed to push back payments to a later date. The state-run oil giant PDVSA had warned it might default if investors didn't accept the swap. What happens is this country is starving the people just so they can make the bond payments to Wall Street. They have $10 billion at its central bank, mostly held in gold bars, along with some other assets held at the IMF, and some cash. Last year, at the beginning of last year, they had $24 billion. Russ Dallin.
So they've lost half of their cash and or gold assets.
And I know they did sell some gold later, and you know, earlier this year. They're running on fumes. Russ Dallin, managing partner of Caracas Capital Markets in Miami, said that Venezuela is living on borrowed time. It's starving its people just to pay Wall Street. And what's going to happen when they run out of money? They're still not going to be able to pay Wall Street.
But they will be relieved of all their gold.
They will be relieved of all their gold.
Yeah.
And they are going to, and they will end up defaulting no matter what.
Of course they will. But here's the thing. This is the same thing as the austerity that the people of Greece have been subjected to because they're in deeper than they can pay. They should just file for bankruptcy, but if they do, they wipe out the debt and they wipe out the correlative assets. It's not just a matter of wiping out the debt, canceling the debt with bankruptcy. When you have a debt-based system, they can't let you get out on bankruptcy because you destroy the correlative paper assets. Yeah, if it was an asset-based system, yeah, you can file for bankruptcy, no big deal, right? It's a big deal to the person
assets,
who files.
Yeah,
it's a big deal to the person who files. You sell your assets, you lose your assets, but somebody's got them, right? You got a house, a car, and a boat. Okay, you sell those assets, you take the money and use it to pay off your creditors, and maybe I bought your house and your car and your boat. But when the debt-based monetary system, the assets are pieces of paper. They're U.S. Treasury bonds. They're banknotes. They're mortgages. If you can't pay these things, you don't... The piece of paper disappears. The whole thing is destroyed. And then what? How do the banks function without that paper capital that they've been depending on for the last 40 or 50 years? Take that away. Those banks aren't going to have any money to lend to buy food or homes or cars or flat screen TVs or anything else or to build a new business or whatever. There will be a premium on capital that will be extraordinary. And if you happen to have some savings and you are wise, you could do very well. All right, and by just, all right, I'll invest my money in this corporation, or maybe this local business, or maybe my son or my daughter, all right, if I really think they're competent. But you are going to be challenged. First, do you have any savings? And second, do you have enough intelligence to use those savings in a way that's wise, prudent, you know, sensible? But we're headed for difficult times, and I can't see any way around it. How do they go? They can't pay the debt. It's too big to be paid, and they can't cancel the debt without wiping out the paper assets, which means you can't pay it, and you can't cancel it. What are you going to do?
China, when you look at Venezuela, sure, they paid today's bond, or they were able to make arrangements. They owe about $11 billion in bond payments between now and the end of the year. But besides that, they also owe billions more to China, foreign oil companies, and many others. And the reason Venezuela is so important, because they used to be one of the richest, or the richest country in Latin America. They had the strongest currency. Mm-hmm. They were a wealthy nation. Their nation is full of resources that they could be using and so forth. Oil. They had primo oil. They had the prime oil to sell. And now look at them. And what's going to happen when China says, oh, you know, they're not dealing anymore with Venezuela. Venezuela is going to be chopped up, sold. And what's going to happen to the people?
This is a dog-eat-dog world is where we're going.
And it's
you're seeing it on
here,
the international level,
point.
But you're going to see it elsewhere.
Right here.
We'll have to let it go until mañana, Melody, because we are out of time. I want to thank all you folks for listening to Financial Survival. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Dodd, the producer. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my